and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's post-game here, courtside, game two. Warriors just polished off a 19-point win over the Celtics to even the series. I'm joined here by Mark J. Spears. This is the Mark J. Spears series. Boston, Golden State.
Right?
Used to cover the Celtics. Now he lives in Oakland. From the Bay Area. From Manscaped.
Covering the Celtics when they won it last.
Anything
is possible. I was right behind KG.
That's right. That's right. It's not surprising at all. It's 1-1. I'm surprised how we got here.
Yeah.
This game played out similarly through three quarters as the last game, because for the second time in a row, we had a two-point game at halftime. It was a little different the way it got there. Still, two-point game at halftime. And yet again, the Warriors dominated in the third quarter, and this time they had the knockout blow. Spears, the Warriors changed up some of their strategy. Iguodala was deactivated.
Yeah.
They say his knee was inflamed, and I'm not saying that wasn't true, but either way, he wasn't playing in this game. Gary Payton played. They changed the lineups that Jordan Poole played with, and the Celtics, as they are known to do, turned the ball over like absolute crazy, and the Warriors feasted on it. What did you see?
I think one thing that was interesting, and it's funny, I was just talking to Cedric Maxwell about it, the Boston Celtics legend. They let Draymond get under their skin this game.
They sure did. Draymond came out. I thought he was borderline out of control in the first 5 minutes of the game, but maybe that's exactly what he wanted.
Yeah. And, you know, he knows that the referees give him a little leeway, that he can push the button probably a little bit more than most. I'm sure Celtics fans are mad at Zach Zarba right now.
Well, let's talk about that real quick right off the bat here. So he gets the tech early on in the first quarter. It's the fourth or fifth tech he's had this postseason.
Yeah.
And this has happened. This is as old as time in the NBA. Once you get your tech, you write the check, and you get to say your piece.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, you get to sort of say your piece on and on because, you know, it takes a lot to get you ejected. And there was a moment in this game where they reviewed an incident, and for maybe a split second, it looked like Draymond could get ejected. And Zach Zarba said, "We reviewed it," even though there was on the review there was some stuff between him and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And Steve Javy, during the broadcast, said, "No, I'm not throwing the guy out here. When you officiate differently when the guy's got one tech." That really pissed off a lot of people. But Steve Javy is right. That is that is the way of the NBA.
And it's been like that for a long time. I actually thought that kind of had changed with the younger referees. They ref more from the book where, you know, we're used to what we saw as kids. We're used to what we saw earlier in our writing careers. When, before a lot of these, like, vet referees, because there's been an exodus.
They're right.
Over the last 10 years, there's been an exodus of storied referees that are now, you know, out of this league. And they swallowed a whistle more back then. They let this go back then. They understand the magnitude of this moment. And also don't want to.
Zach Zarba. Yeah.
He's old school.
He's in his 20th year.
Yeah.
I know, because his first year in the league was the first year I started covering the league. I've talked to him about it. He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He sort of is old school. And Zach Zarba is not throwing Draymond out. You can debate whether or not that was the right call.
Yeah.
But he's not throwing Draymond out in that situation.
I think he had to maybe kick him in the groin to get kicked up.
I mean, it's interesting.
No pun intended, or maybe so, right?
If we had Zach right here and we asked him, what would it have taken to get Draymond kicked out?
Yeah.
It might have taken.
He might have said that joke.
Just short of him swinging at somebody to get thrown out.
Yeah.
And people would say that that doesn't make sense, but Draymond knows the rules. He's worked the officials. Zach Zarba has probably officiated 100 games. There's very
few people. He's been in the finals for years.
Who have worked more games in the playoffs last decade than Zach Zarba has.
Yeah.
Draymond's probably had dozens of playoff games with Zach Zarba. He knows what he can get away with. So I would say that I don't think that's a defining story in this game, even though the Celtics fans may think that. I think the defining thing in this game was that Draymond wanted to set the tone that they were going to be the physical team, they were going to fight, they were going to get up into the Celtics, and that style of play. Celtics were very comfortable offensively in game one.
You know, another thing is probably a little thing that people aren't really talking about. I thought Gary Payton really liked help defensively.
Oh, yeah.
Just did a bunch of the little things that were lacking. Team things, defensively, even like offensively, they miss him. It's amazing to think a guy that barely made the roster, could have been cut, has had that kind of impact on their team. And he just, he's like his dad on defense, man.
By the way, before the game, his dad was talking. I took a photo of it, but I don't think I'm going to tweet it. But I took a photo of his dad before the game was chopping it up with Detlef Schrempf.
Oh, yeah, tweet that. NBA tweeted that. You might
as well. Did they? Okay, yeah. Then I don't need to. And Detlef Schrempf was wearing a Sonics shirt under his jacket. I mean, I don't want to make it overblown that Gary Payton changed this game, but
he had an impact for sure.
You know, I think the Celtics in game one, they just were able to get to where they needed offensively. They were able to create a lot of open shots. That's one of the things Ime Udoka said. You know, I think they took 41 threes in game one, and, you know, Ime, I think, was a little irritated by the fact that people were like, you guys got lucky with all those threes. He was like, 38 of those threes were open.
Yeah.
And so I think that they just, you know, in the last series, the Heat really slapped and grabbed and pushed trying to get the ball from the Celtics players, and the Celtics players didn't feel that this series or this first game. And then tonight, like, Marcus Smart was turning it over. Yeah. Jason Tatum was turning it over. I mean, they gave up the most points off turnovers, I believe, in the last 25 years. I'm gonna check it. So they gave up 33 points off turnovers. That is second most in the last 25 years. 34 was the most.
And we forget that this Warriors team is a really good defensive team too. Like, these are both storied defensive teams this season.
I thought Wiggins played really well, defensively.
Stop there too, because here's the key with Wiggins. He can't switch, man. He can't switch because Tatum was amazing when he shot over somebody short. But when he had Wiggins' length on him, when he had Wiggins in his 6 inches away, Wiggins just defended Luka for a whole series. Like, he's mentally ready for that challenge. Not so much that you shut them down, but you make every shot tough. And I'm curious to see, and maybe our ESPN stats people have it up for you, but I'm curious to see what his stats were against Tatum's stats were against Wiggins versus everybody else.
I'll look it up. I mean, so Tatum goes 6 of 9 on threes and 8 of 19 overall.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown made like his first 4 of his first 5 shots, which sometimes is not a good thing for the Celtics because he tends to get a little loose.
And then he went frigid.
And then he was like, I think, 1 of his next 10, one of his next 8, 11. So Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown end up shooting 36%. The Celtics shoot 35% as a team from 2. How many layups did they miss in there? The stat guys only have 2 blocks for the Warriors. That doesn't seem right to me. They missed a lot of layups in there. The Warriors, I felt, defended the paint really well. Let's see what they were in the paint. Oh, my God. Listen to this stat, Spears. The Celtics in the paint, 12 of 30.
Dang. I mean, and the Warriors missed a lot of layups, too.
And they the Celtics blocked a lot of shots. They had 7 blocks. Let's see what the Warriors were in the paint. They were 20 of 39.
Yeah.
So significantly
a little under 50. But
still missed 19 of them in there. I thought Kevon Looney, so.
He's another guy, quiet things he does. Under the basket, gets easy buckets, probably shot like 6 of 8, right? Something like that.
6 of 6.
Oh, he made all 6 of his shots, right?
7
all
rebounds.
Dunks.
Yep.
And that started against Memphis and it's kind of carried on. He's become a local folk hero here. That loon chant you hear during games, that started like two series ago. That wasn't no regular thing here. And so, I think they figured, Steph in particular, that Steph, Jordan, Clay, they cause so much attention when they drive that loon just drops under the basket,
sure,
and
does.
He could keep getting that easy dunk every time.
So 6 of 6, 7 rebounds. He had 3 steals and a block. So maybe they gave one of the steals, one of the blocks they gave a steal or whatever. He goes plus 24.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hello, Jimmy.
The legend.
How are you? Not right now. Do you have something you want to say to America? Jimmy Goldstein? Are you going to Boston?
Of course I'm going to Boston. I don't miss any finals games.
Okay. And his feet is always on the wood.
Of course.
Always on the wood. Jimmy Jam.
Do you get better taken care of here in Golden State, or do you get better taken care of in Boston?
I rarely go to Boston. I haven't been to Boston in years, so I don't know where I'm getting my ticket.
Oh, man. I find that hard to believe. Stop.
I've heard you say this before.
Stop it.
But then you end
then
up.
Then he's sitting on, in midcourt.
Then you always
he's
end up.
He's sitting on the leprechaun.
So let me ask you this. What's the closest to a game you've ever gotten without a seat and then ended up on the front row?
Maybe 3 hours.
Yeah. One time, Spears, I ran into him in Japan at the World Championships. Well, you were there, and he says, we ran into him outside. He doesn't remember because he goes to 1,000 games. And I ran him outside, and he goes, hey, do you know where I can get courtside tickets? I said, Jimmy, I'm sorry, I don't know where. And then an hour later, the game started.
There was this guy named David Stern he would call.
Japan.
Do you remember going to Japan?
Yes. I remember that the U.S. seats were way up in the stands, way up in like the third tier. I was not going to sit in the U.S. seats under any circumstances.
All right, but now you are an expert in the NBA. What do you think, after watching these two games from the court side, what do you think is going to happen in this series?
I have said from the beginning, the Warriors in 7.
All right, Warriors in 7.
Same pick as me.
I can't deny it.
Yeah.
What did you see tonight? What was your impression of what you saw tonight from your seats?
Well, the Warriors' defense in the first 18 minutes of the second half, holding Boston to 12 points, was pretty amazing.
They own the third quarter, and they own the third quarter again tonight. Thank you, Jimmy. It's great to see you.
Good to see you, brother.
Travel safe. Travel safe. Jimmy sits in first class at the games, but he sits in coach on the plane. You still sitting in coach on the plane?
Pardon?
You still sitting coach on the airplane?
It depends. Not sitting coach on the long trip to Boston.
Because okay. I've sat in coach with Jimmy, and then he gets in his – I'm not going to say what kind of car he has, but it's a car that's got
it's got a wing on it.
Six figures and the first number in one. Okay. That's all I'm going to say about you. Great to see you, Jimmy.
Good
be
to
well.
See you, man. Hey, wait.
Hey, we just say, Jimmy, he just goes anywhere he wants. We all need all these passes.
Wait, I got a Jimmy story.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I always got
a
story.
He's wearing gold. How much you think that jacket is, Spears?
Right now, about 10,000.
Right now, he's talking to Draymond. Draymond is hugging him. 10,000. All right, go ahead and tell your Jimmy story.
So one time I was in Paris on a vacation. And
he was probably at the fashion show.
I was actually going to see Arsenal.
Oh.
And I made a trip.
At PSG?
No. I just decided to go to Paris.
No. They were playing. Was Arsenal playing PSG?
No, I just decided to go to Paris after going to see Arsenal.
Oh, I see. You were continuing the trip.
Yes.
All right.
So I go to this club, and I'm hanging out at the club, and there was a circular thing in the middle of the club. And there were, like, people dancing on it. There was, like, a dude with wings, like, and drawers on. He had wings and drawers on. I just remember he had, like, white drawers on.
I could ask you so many questions,
He just, I don't know. Women were dancing. The dudes was dancing.
Okay.
And the thing's rotating. And all of a sudden, as it rotates, Jimmy Goldstein's on there, dancing the night away. And I got up from my seat, and I walked up to him. I'm like, Jimmy, what? And it was, like, that big fashion week. I sound stupid now that they have
fashion
there.
Week.
But it was Jimmy Goldstein dancing next to the Pegasus, the dude dressed up as a Pegasus in the middle of the dance, the rotating part of the dance floor.
Oh, well, you know you're deep in the playoffs and Jimmy's walking around. By the way, he shows up like 2 hours before the game, stays 2 hours after.
Goes to the press conferences.
Oh yeah, he goes to press conferences.
Doesn't ask a question.
No, he could though. If he raised his hand, he would get called on.
Not that guy. He's not that guy.
No, he's not. He doesn't want attention. Well, he does kind of. You know, he dresses that way.
Yeah.
I don't know where we were, but I will say that Steph, there's going to be an impression that you got to go. You
got
to go.
Got 5 minutes.
All right. There's going to be an impression that Steph played great tonight. He was good. He was 9 of 21, 5 of 12.
Yeah.
He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He was good, but he was not otherworldly. The Warriors just handled their business, and the Celtics gave him the ball.
Yeah. It was a defense, Draymond in their minds. Just a lot of weird turnovers, right? Just a lot of, like,
boy,
bad.
They threw the
it
ball.
Looked like they passed the ball like the Warriors did in game one.
I know.
It's very, very strange. Kind of confused by the mental lapse. Especially when you have the opportunity to go home 2-0, right?
Spears, like, this is what they've been doing.
It makes me feel like they were just happy to get one.
I guess.
And I thought mentally this team had taken that step, like assassin step, and maybe Horford just had one of those games.
I just know yesterday I Spontemps and I were both talking to all the Celtics about the third quarter. Yeah. They get into halftime. You know Ime Udoka talked about the third quarter. You know he talked about it before the game. You know he talked about it at practice yesterday. Yeah. You know he talked about it coming into the series, and it happened again. They got it. They can't. It's, by the way, 2 games in, Warriors plus 35 in the fourth quarter. Tonight they are plus 21. That's the most lopsided quarter they've had in their history. All these blowout wins they've had in the playoffs, plus 21 is the most lopsided quarter they've ever had.
How do you feel now, though? Like, I tell people you can't put too much on game one, man.
Yeah.
Although Celtics winning here on game one was huge.
Right.
Right? But how do you feel now?
Well, I was just talking to Peter Guber, who's one of the owners of the Warriors.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's obviously very happy
that
they won. And he said, you know, fourth quarter, if we play the fourth quarter well on Thursday, we're in great shape. And I go, yeah, but that's the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics haven't lost 2 in a row in months. I would, right now, sitting knowing what I know, I think they come back and win game 3.
Yeah.
But I will say this, because they'll clean up their turnovers and they'll play cleaner and they'll be home.
Yeah.
But Steph hadn't had a great game yet. He had a great quarter. He had a good game tonight.
Yeah.
Klay was awful.
Yeah.
So the Warriors are sitting here. They can convince themselves they should be up 2-0.
Yeah.
And they don't feel like they've played their best game yet.
Yeah.
And if you're the Celtics, you're saying, if we just would have handled our business and not handed them the ball for 33 points, we'd be up 2-0.
And, you know, the Warriors won in Boston this season.
Right.
So
Boston's only been okay at home in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I shouldn't assume game three. I shouldn't. I just assume that they'll play better second time around. But all right, Spears, thanks for coming out here, man. Travel safe.
I'll see you in Boston.
Oh, yeah. You'll be
back.
We'll
see Jimmy. Maybe we could go to the club with him.
We should see if Jimmy. We should see if Jimmy's got a G4 tonight. I'll bet he'd let us on that plane, Spears.
I think he would. But I'll tell you this. The way you think Jimmy dances is how Jimmy dances.
And the way I think you dance is probably the way you dance, too.
Yeah. Probably worse.
Thankless and Hoop Collective. We'll talk to you next week.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.